This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Well, welcome to this special edition of ENN brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
How's it working out for the movie screen, clown?
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
You saw what Ken was pulling.
And if it's okay, I don't want to go too far here, I'd like to say good evening to myself. All five boroughs from Brooklyn to Buffalo. Well, that's not what I meant. I see what you did there, but I wasn't confused that Buffalo is actually a borough. But I hear you.
Bing bong!
Well, guess what, guys? If you're just tuning into the program, the Giants have fired coach Joe Judge. That's right. Two losing seasons, in case you didn't know, with your New York football Giants. Dave Gettleman out by retirement, reportedly. And now, Joe Judge taking the long walk. Here's the statement from John Mara. Steve, Tish, and I both believe it is in the best interest of our franchise to move in another direction. We met with Joe yesterday afternoon to discuss the state of the team. I met with Joe this afternoon. And it was during that conversation I informed Joe of our decision. We appreciate Joe's efforts on behalf of the organization. I said before the season started that I wanted to feel good about the direction we were headed when we played our last game of the season. Unfortunately, I cannot make that statement, which is why we have made this decision. Wow. We will hire a general manager, and that person will lead the effort to hire a new head coach. Judge was 10-23 over the last two seasons. Third consecutive G-men coach to be fired after two seasons or less, following Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur. McAdoo now looking like the real champ of the group at 13-15. This, of course, one of the real, the worst stretches in team history, guys.
Well, they've missed the playoffs 9 out of 10 years. Judge started off 0-5 last year, 1-5 this season. It just didn't get better. And, you know, through a fluky division, they had a chance until the last day last year to make the playoffs. And you thought, well, the next step is to be a legitimate playoff contender, like what Dallas has done. But they didn't do it. The free agent signings didn't work, and the coaching didn't work.
Mom, that's why I just took exception to people saying, well, you can't judge him based on the last 6 weeks. Come on, look at his quarterback. Look at his offensive line. Look at all the injuries that they had. Look at COVID. We went into this season think they can legitimately, with the extra wild card and what was perceived to be a weak division, get into the playoffs. And again, for the umpteenth time, started 1-5. With brutal losses, Peter. You remember the Washington game, the Kansas City game.
Well, I just remember thinking early on, going, if they don't get these wins here, where are these wins going to come? And the answer was they never did come. Now, there's only one person who I'd imagine is truly, truly happy today.
Oh, no.
Let's see what we have here, Eric. I got some Hillshire Farms honey ham. I got some Hillshire Farms honey turkey. Some Oscar Mayer Deli Fresh. And, of course, my favorite old El Paso queso sauce. It's going to be a cold-cut nacho cheese extravaganza for kicking.
Time for kickers to eat.
Because guess what, y'all? I told you. I tried to tell you all season. Some people are cut out for the job, and others are not. And one man who is cut out for the job, his name happens to be Francis Frederick Kiki the Third. New head coach of the New York Football Giants. Guess what? I'll tell you one thing. This may be known as the kitchen song. You know what the new kitchen song is, Dom?
What's that?
Stop. Kicking time. Kicking time. Thank you. I'll see y'all next season. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, I've got a good idea for a coach. I mean, if you want to save Daniel Jones, the best guy out there available is McDaniels. Just look at what he's done with quarterbacks. He's the guy who got Matt Castle ready. He's the guy, remember when Tom Brady was suspended?
Yeah.
He had Garoppolo ready, and then he had Brissett ready. Look what he's done with Mac Jones. He gets the most out of quarterbacks, and he obviously was the whisperer for Tom Brady. If you want to salvage Jones, I think that's the way to go, if you want to salvage Jones. But if Jones is somebody that you don't – if the GM doesn't believe in, then you don't need to get a quarterback whisperer.
Yeah, but the problem is, Michael, they did that with Shurmur and McAdoo, like hiring head coaches to better the quarterback situation and then finding out that there's more to the job than just making the quarterback better. Right.
Well, in McAdoo's defense, he's made the one playoff team in 10 years.
Right. But McAdoo was an offensive coordinator with the Giants, and Eli had success. I think that was why they were motivated to promote him. It didn't work. Now, Shurmur, you know, had that great season with Case Keenum in Minnesota, so let's bring him over because look what he did in Minnesota with their quarterback situation. He'll be able to make Eli better and we'll win. Didn't work. You got to bring in somebody, Michael, that's multifaceted. You know, this quarterback whisperer is great. Remember, Gase was supposed to be a quarterback whisperer. You bring in these guys that have one, they're one-trick ponies, and then they find out that there's too many other things to do that can make you lose games. And if you don't do them well, you're in trouble. So I'd like to find somebody a little bit more well-rounded than let's find somebody that can correct Daniel Jones. Because what if he's not correctable, Michael? Then what do you do?
Yeah, it's certainly hard to know if he's actually capable of being that guy. Over the last few decades, guys, talk about how rough things have been. In the last 28 seasons, the Giants have missed the playoffs 19 times. They've lost their first playoff game 6 times. And then they've reached the Super Bowl 3 times, including 2 victories. The Giants were outscored by 158 points this season.
Holy crap.
They're worse since 1980.
What?
What happened after that, Don?
Well, then they made the playoffs in 81.
Was that Perkins?
Then Ray Perkins, you know, left to go to Alabama.
Was LT the 80 draft?
No, LT was the 81 draft.
81 draft.
But, you know, again, off of the 80 season.
Off of the 80 season.
Right.
Got it. Now, from 1983 to 2015, the New York Giants had 5 head coaches. Parcells, Hanley, Reeves, Fossil, and Coughlin. It's funny because I always consider like Fossil such a jabroni, and he's a Hall of Famer relative to the 4 head coaches since 2016. Ben McAdoo.
Playoff appearances in a Super Bowl in 7 years isn't bad.
Right, exactly. As opposed to McAdoo, Spagnuolo, who's interim, Pat Shurmur, and Joe Judge. Now, how bad were things over the last 6 weeks, which has led to the end of the Joe Judge era?
Oh, tell us. Do tell.
Oh, they were the worst team in football since December 1st. That's right, Don. 0-6. Tied with the Ravens for the worst record in football. Of course, remember, John Harbaugh purposely decided to lose some of those games. It's the first time the Giants went winless in December and January since they went 0-4 in 2003, the season before they acquired young Elijah Manning.
And Jim Fossil's last year with the team. And it's interesting. I'll let you continue, Peter. But
I got a lot.
Negative stats in December. What did John Mara say before the season started? I want to play meaningful games in December.
Well, they were meaningful, just in the wrong way.
Peter Rosenberg continues.
So since December 1st, 0-6. Points per game. You ready for this one?
Oh, yeah.
9.3.
And that's even exaggerated because of the two meaningless touchdowns they scored against the Chargers, if you remember.
Well, of course, you remember.
21 points.
Right. Yards per game, 232. Worst in the league. Point difference, minus 107. Worst in the league. TO difference, the turnover difference, that is, minus 13, worst in the league. Total QBR, 12.1, worst in the league.
Now, I'm going to give Judge a little bit of a break.
Ooh. Go ahead.
This is on Gettleman. These are the backup quarterbacks that he thought would be good enough to fill in for a guy who's injury prone. So he let Colt McCoy go because of money. And Colt McCoy showed with the Cardinals that he can win a game or two. He's a professional quarterback. And with the Giants, right? He went to Seattle and won a game. He let him go and thought Mike Glennon was the answer. Now, after the backup quarterback, I mean, they got Fromm because, everything was falling apart. Fromm's obviously not an NFL quarterback. That's on Gettleman. So I do contend, although they were bad with Jones at 4-7, the last six games, it falls on the fact they had no quarterback. They just didn't. They didn't have a professional quarterback. I think that either of the two kids that played yesterday in the college football national championship would have been better than Mike Glennon.
And it's funny, the Jets couldn't help but have a backup quarterback do well.
Right.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Guys, let's take a look back at some of the greatest moments in the Joe Judge tenure.
This shouldn't take long.
I can tell every morning when I start my squad meeting where the team's at. I can tell by looking at eyes. I look at eyes all the time. I tell the players, I'm always looking at eyes because I can see everything in your eyes and you can't hide it. And I can see when their eyes are intent and they're engaged and they're working on getting better as a team and they're working on playing for the man next to them. I can see that. I can see when a guy's disengaged too. And when I see that, I got to grab a guy, pull him to the side and figure out what makes him tick and get him back involved with the team and make sure that this guy's, on the same pace as everybody else. But I can see the eyes in our guys. I can see the eyes before a game. I can see the eyes yesterday at halftime knowing they're going to go out there and they're going to continue to fight and we're going to claw our way back in the game. And I can see their eyes after the game to understand that we didn't play well enough to win, but we're going to show up. All right, as a team on Wednesday, we're going to go to work. And that's what we're always going to do.
So this ain't a team that's having fist fights on the sidelines. This ain't some clown show organization or something else. Okay?
Yeah, so we're backed up. We had a shot on the play action to get the ball out in the flat. Okay, we got to make the throw and hit the guy right there. Eli was open there. Would have been a good shot coming off the goal line there to get us some yardage and get some space. And then ultimately, look, we're backed up. I wanted to get room. We're going to push it on forward. I wasn't going to live through what happened last week in Chicago. So we're going to give ourselves room for the punt. We did that. We gave ourselves room for the punt. We protected it. We covered well. We played the field position situation I want to play. We held them on the next drive, and that's the way we want to go ahead and play that. Now, do we want to do that all the time we're backed up? No, but that was the situation of the day with where we were, and I want to make sure that, the things that we had issues with last week in Chicago, that was not going to repeat itself.
I'm used to my team stinking, Don. It's been 20 years. It's Giants are not used to being the laughingstock of the NFL. So welcome to the gutter. I know what it's like to have a press conference and get emotional. Don't worry. I'll talk to you next year when you're looking for someone new.
You know what? The two quarterback sneaks, that was an example of a coach that had no faith in his offense and simply was playing not to get blown out the way he was blown out by the Bears. That's it. He didn't want it to be 29-3 again. That's what he was doing, and I think it sent a message to everybody. It was a low point. I think he's going to regret that forever and ever.
Yeah.
Even if the ball's at the one-yard line, you can punt out of there. So what's the difference if it was at the eight-yard line? What's the difference?
Right. But what he's going to find out if he ever gets another opportunity is all these words, blah, 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 blah. Actions speak louder than words.
I can see somebody's eyes. Stop
so,
it.
So what you could see in their eyes and work hard and all this, we're not a clown show. How did you repay those players? By basically telling the world, we don't think you have a shot here.
Right. Well, you're not even a professional.
And we're not even going to give you the chance to try. Because a player would much rather fail than never given the opportunity to try to make it work. And those guys work all week long. This is where he failed. They break their ass to go out there and play games, even though the game is technically meaningless, even though the season is practically over. They work and they train and they study to make plays, knowing that the chances of success are slim, but they just appreciate the opportunity to try. And he didn't give them the opportunity to do that. He took it away from them.
Now, Michael just mentioned the offense under Joe Judge. How bad is it, Michael? Well, since his first season in 2020, points per game, 15.6. Do you know what position that would make them in the NFL?
Last.
32. That's right, Don. 32 last. Offensive efficiency, 31.7. Do you know what that would put them in?
Last. 32.
Okay. What about yards per play? 4.8.
32.
That's right. Touchdowns per drive percentage at 14%.
32.
That's right. Also last. And points per drive at 1.5. Thoughts?
32.
That's right. They are the worst in basically every offensive category.
And here's my bold statement of the day. I will donate a paycheck to charity of your choice. Mike Glennon, the embarrassment, the dog, the not an NFL quarterback, the whole reason the Giants offense stunk. Lock. He'll be on an NFL roster next year. Lock.
Really? You locked that in?
Oh, yeah. Lock. Tell me I'm wrong.
I don't know. I'm not. I don't know if I would bet a paycheck on it.
No. He will be on a roster at some point next year.
Well, I know I'm a bit of a broken record with regard to this, and I apologize. I know it's annoying for people, but to the point Don's making here, in the pouring rain, Garrett Gilbert gave Washington a better chance to win than Glennon was giving the Giants. That can't be because Garrett Gilbert's actually better than Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon he's a backup regularly. This is not his first rodeo, but he was incapable. They were not capable of designing any offense that would work for him. And Michael, you just mentioned, of course, the plays that everyone will talk about, which are those second and third down QB sneaks. The first one, to get a little bit of room for comfort, I take no issue with. But to your point, and that's what's got to keep him up at night, to not simply hand the ball to Saquon, let alone run play action and try to throw the ball. Who cares? Like, what's the worst you're going to do? Throw a pick six? He did it 5 minutes later. You could do that. It's fine. The season's over. But at the very least, you hand off the ball, and he's probably head coach today.
Even the ultimate give-up play, the draw.
Oh, yeah. That's a time-tested, tried-and-true third-down give-up. Right. Every fan groans when you run a draw on third and six. We know that. But guess what? They could have done that. Nothing.
But every once in a while, the draw works.
Every once in a while, it does. More often, though, Don, it's third and 20, and the draw gets you 15 yards.
That was, you know what that play was? That was like the Atari play from like back in the 70s, where just like the grid just moved forward.
Somebody said it on Twitter so well. It was like your 70-year-old grandpa playing Madden for the first time.
No. You know what? It's even better than that. It's basically the only play that you can run in electric football.
Right.
You just plug it in and mush forward. That's all they ran.
And it wasn't even disguised as a quarterback sneak. It was like a wishbone. I mean, there were no wide receivers split wide out. There's no Washington knew what they were doing.
Can you imagine trying to explain to a kid in 2022 the electric football?
I can't even explain it, and I played it.
Me too.
I'm going to tell you this, and it's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
You were able to pass in it.
You were?
Yes.
What?
Now, there was like a little, like the quarterback had like this.
A retractable arm.
Yeah. And what you do is like, it was like a little tiny foam football that he held, and all you had to do was make contact with the receiver because they obviously couldn't catch it. But if you threw it and you hit the receiver, then you got the ball where you hit the receiver.
But how did you do anything? I thought you literally just kind of plugged it in and everything moved.
But that was the play. Then you could hold the quarterback, and then you could
hold the quarterback.
You flick the arm.
Wow.
And for those that don't know, it was a kind of a metal field, and it vibrated from electricity.
Yes.
And the players had, like, magnets, and they would, like, vibrate forward or sideways, and they'd run into each other.
Now I'm curious
that
to
was
see,
high tech.
Like, how do we function as a society?
I'm curious to see if, like, the line might have gotten drawn, like, right after my childhood. Andrew, do you remember electric football?
Yeah, actually, I do.
You ever played it, or you just
a couple times? A buddy of mine had it, but I remember playing it, thinking like, "Wow, this is really old school." Like it wasn't from my generation. I knew that it was an older thing.
An older sibling or something must have had it in the house.
Yeah,
Anthony, do you know about this?
It was like that they wandered into King Tut's tomb.
No,
like, oh, this is the way they used to brush their teeth.
Wait, Anthony, you've seen it or no?
No, I haven't. I had to look it up. The only thing I remember, my dad had one of those handheld football games.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was...
And it was like three buttons. That one was fun, though. I enjoyed playing that.
That was bad. That was much better than electric football. All right.
Hey, Don, 1 second. Non-football news, breaking news, breaking from SNY. You'll like this, I think.
Okay.
The Mets have decided to retire Keith Hernandez's number 17.
No, that makes sense.
Yep.
One of the great Mets of all time, still obviously working with the organization. Yes.
You like that?
Yes.
You like that?
Well, more on the electric football that was the Joe Judge Giants next. That will do it for ENN, which is brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Try the Hennessy Playmaker or the Hennessy Triple Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit www.hennessy.com. For drink recipes, Hennessy Spirit of the NBA, always enjoy Hennessy responsibly.
All right, let's keep this rolling. Let's talk with you, 1-800-919-3776. Who could get the job? What do you think about Judge getting shown the door? It's Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.